Amen. John chapter number 4. By the book of St. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Verse number 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew that how the Pharisees heard that the Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." I like that right there. He must needs go through Samaria. Somewhere that was communicated, and John knew about it, and he penned it down. That said, that it was on the Lord's heart to go through Samaria. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Now it's high noon. Amen. It's 12 o'clock straight up and down, and the Lord is wearied with his travelings. And I won't say this night, he was 100% man. He got tired, amen, he got tired. And I guess when you're ministering all the time, praise God, trying to tell a heathen world, praise God, that you're the Messiah, you're the promised one, trying to convince them, trying to show them, amen. You know what? I said that, say this, Jesus worked at it. Amen. It was Jesus' work, praise God, to show the world a perfect Messiah, a perfect Savior. Praise the Lord. And said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him." Now watch this verse. "And he would have given thee living waters." Amen. Now let me read that one more time. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God." What is the gift of God? It's Jesus. "And who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I want to preach, Brother Charles, this evening for a few minutes, if God will be my help. On this thought, Jesus changed my mind. Jesus changed my mind. As we look at this tonight and we see this story and we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, He come to a place that He was needed. I'm so glad He come to a place that He was needed in March 1976. He come to a place where I was, praise God, and I knew I needed help. Now, I didn't know I needed help as much as God knew that I needed that help. Amen. But He come to where I was, just like He did His woman. The Bible said He must needs go through Samaria. Well, it was on that Wednesday night, 1976, praise God, that Jesus said, I must needs go to that little Baptist church in Oakland, Maryland. Praise God, where they found this little tow-headed boy who was lost and on his way to a devil's hell. I knew that. I knew I was lost. I knew hell would be my home. But praise God, I'm glad Jesus passed by that night. I'm glad the Holy Ghost showed me I was a sinner. I knew that. Praise God, I'm glad that He showed me there's a Savior that loved me, that come by my way, praise God, that He could save me from my sins. Jesus came by that night, praise God, He changed my mind. Amen, praise God. Hey, when I thought I was going to go to hell, lost without God, Jesus come my way. He changed my mind, put a different thought and attitude. Praise God, when I trusted Him, He changed my mind and headed me in another direction. Praise His holy name. I'm glad He did, amen, because I couldn't do it by myself. But we see this story here, and we see this woman, and the Bible says, a very familiar passage, that this woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus asked her if you'd give Him a drink. Amen, praise God. And little did she know, she was talking to the Messiah God. There you go on me, praise God. He said, I am. Praise the Lord, was there at the well. She come bringing her water pot to get her a little sip of water to nourish her body. But praise God, did she had just known that she was talking to the water of life Himself. Praise God, had pulled up there to the well and He'd sat down for just a little while to wait on her, because the Bible said, Jesus said, must needs go through Samaria. Praise God, had come to a place He had stopped for just a minute. Praise God. And he asked her for a drink. Of course, they had no dealings with the Samaritans. Praise God, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't have no dealings with the Jews. What the Samaritans were, they were half-breed. They were half-Jew and half-Gentile, had intermarried and intermingled, and they had messed up what they thought they were. But praise God, God Almighty, amen, He likes things that's messed up. Amen, praise God. You say, how do you know? Because He chose me and you. Brother Kevin, He loved us. We were messed up. We were lost and undone. Praise God, I'm glad God Almighty sent His only Son to die for those of this world that's messed up. And praise God, I don't know about you, but I've messed up a lot. We was talking about before church how many times we've sinned to come short of the glory of God. I was talking to folks last night about how many times we have to pray every day and ask God to forgive us for our sins and our sinfulness, praise God, and the things that this old body's apt to do. But I'm glad, praise God, there's a Savior came by, praise God, and touched our hearts and gave us a direction and gave us a purpose and made us part of His plan. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He came to where we was. He changed our mind. Amen. She said, hey, listen, she don't have no dealings with us. And Jesus answered, said to her, verse number 10. Now watch this. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God. I tell you, young as the night, if we knew the gift of God. You say, well, preacher, I know who Jesus is. There's a whole lot of the world knows who Jesus is. I tell you what, in the last couple of weeks, I've dealt with so many people that know who Jesus is. That's talked about, oh, yeah, I know who Jesus is. I know what Jesus done. But I want to tell you, there's a difference between knowing who He is and knowing what He done and realizing, praise God, that He did it for you. Amen. I see so many people today that's living on the dark side. Amen. They profess the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim to know who He is. They know they expect Him. But praise God, they don't know Him in the free pardon of sin. Amen. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of Him, He would have given thee living waters. Amen. Praise God. I won't say praise God. The Lord gives us a picture here of this woman. And now she comes to the well. She's already had five husbands. And the one she's shacked up with. I said, the one she's shacked up with now ain't her husband. And now we live in a day and hour. If you preach that, people don't like it because they think it's okay to shack up now. I won't say it's not okay to shack up. No more today than it was not for you or your family or me or my family. Craig God, it's wrong in the eyes of God. God. He said the marriage bed is undefiled, and any other way, praise God, is sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that's not popular in the world. I was talking to a guy today, and he said, why don't preachers preach on sin no more? I said, because they don't want to. Amen. They're afraid it'll mess up their liberties they have. Amen. It'll mess up their finances. Amen. It'll run the crowd off. Amen. If you got a crowd that likes to live in sin, praise God, somebody needs to stir them up. Amen. We need a stirring up on sin, praise God. Sin's still sin in the eyes of God. He's not changed his mind a bit. And if this woman was there, she'd had five husbands. She was shacked up with another. And the Lord says, hey, he said, where? He said, go call thy husband and come hither. I believe, praise God, when she told her that, there's a Holy Ghost conviction come in her heart. She realized, she said, hey, listen, there's something to this man. This man's done got my number. Yeah, praise God, he's got your number, all right. He'll call you up if you'll listen. But there's a whole lot of people today that's got their ringer turned off. They don't want to hear from God no more. They don't want to listen to what God said. It's too easy to go with the flow. I will say that may be all right. But praise God, I believe that there's a God of heaven. If we call upon Him, if we'll repent of our sins and turn from our evil ways, praise God, He'll save us in our household. He'll lift us up. He'll bring us out, praise God. He'll put us in a place one more time where we can get to a place, an avenue in our life where we can get to feel the touch of God. I don't know about you, I like a touch of the Holy Ghost. I like it when I can feel His presence in my heart, praise God. When the Holy Ghost of God is got liberty. Amen. So this woman come to a place and she realized everything that she had been doing wasn't exactly right. He says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Amen. She begins to try to preach to the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, well, you know, our folks, we worship Him here in the mountains. And I said, the Jews, they worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, listen, he said, let me tell you, the hours are coming, and it is right now, that they'll neither worship here on the mountain or in Jerusalem. Praise God. They'll worship God in spirit and in truth. They'll worship a true and a living God. I want to say, if we ain't very careful, we get caught up worshiping the gods of this world, the things that we can see and feel. Praise God. I want to say, the God I serve, I can't see Him working, but in the hearts and minds of His people, and I can't feel Him, praise God. Except through the Holy Ghost of God working in my heart, showing me and pointing me in the right direction, the way He'd have me to go. But praise God, I'm glad I can see Him and I can feel Him today. Amen. The world's wanting one that they're wanting a touchy-feely God. Amen. Make them feel warm and fuzzy. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, I repented on that. I repented on that Wednesday night, 1976, and God saved my soul. They was a change made. Amen. I want to say now, you can have a repentance. I know people all over the place that's repented. That don't mean they're saved. Amen. Unsaved people can repent, but that don't mean they're saved. And now, repent, it means to have a change of mind. Amen. But the difference is a change of mind about what? Amen. A change of mind about what? We need to have a change of mind about the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven, praise God, and how we messed up and how we broke His heart and how what we got to do to fix it. To come back to a right relationship with God Almighty. I don't know about you, but that's important. God says so. Amen. Praise God. We got to have a right relationship with the Lord. But we can come with a change of mind, amen. We can make a different thing. We can come up and ask God to forgive us because of all these bad habits we got, amen. I remember years ago, bro Jeff, when I used to dip a little snuff, chew a little red man, and God convicted God and the dollar began to convict my heart, amen. But now I'm just being honest. It was the dollar. Amen. When the skull got up, it was over. When it's over 85 cents a can, I said, this old boy ain't paying that. That's highway robbery. So I swore off that stuff. So I said, I quit. Amen. How many of us that, praise God? We can have a change of mind, praise God. We can give up a bad habit, but that's not true repentance unto God. Now I know some people, Brother Roberts told us that when he asked God to help him quit smoking, and said, Holy Ghost of God moved upon me, quit smoking, didn't have a desire, didn't want to. But then he got around some folks a while later. Now, you got to be careful who you hang out with. Hey, man, they'll get you sucked back into something you don't want to be part of. But said he thought, they was a smoking one, thought he'd smoke one with them. And he got started back again, how hard it was to stop the second time. And it about killed him. Have to give it up, praise God. God said, I'll help you, praise God. But if you turn back, he said, I ain't going to help you again. You're going to just have to suffer through it, big boy. But we can come with repentance, but it's not having a change, a true change in our life. I mean, you can have some kind of little special sin in your life. Amen? And you can repent of it and stop doing it. Amen? We've all done it. Listen, hey, don't get quiet on me. Little old things that we know's not right, but we sneak them in anyway. Hello? Now I'm preaching to the choir, we know. But we repent of that, say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. And we'll give that up, but praise God, hey, is that true repentance? I'm not thinking. I'm talking about having a change of mind because we realize it broke the heart of God. And we turn from that, praise God. God said there's a sorrow, but he said there's also a godly sorrow. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus changing our minds. Jesus making the difference. See, what was happening in this woman's life, praise God. Hey, listen, he didn't give her listen to me just a second. He didn't give her a bunch of rules and regulations, what she had to do, praise God. He said, just ask for that water of life, praise God. Realizing who you're talking to, and praise God, have a well of water spring up in your soul. What are you saying, Pastor? Yeah, I'm saying, listen, church, I'm afraid we're trying to get the cart before the horse. Amen? I think we're trying to get folks in and we're trying to get them all fixed up without salvation of their soul. Without them realizing they old sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus preached this woman, praise God, and Holy Ghost conviction set in. Amen? Praise God. And she began to believe who he was, praise the Lord, to the point that she went to the mountain and she told all those old men she'd been running around with, said, hey, let me tell you something. I think the Messiah's come. Amen. The promised one of God's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Made a difference in her life. Praise God. A godly sorrow in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. The Bible says, verse number 8, he said, though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. You know, Holy Ghost of God knew your heart, and sometimes you'll get a sorrow heart for a while. Amen. When God Almighty reveals to you your sinfulness. Amen. Now listen to me. That's not a bad thing. Hello? Amen. It's not a bad thing when God the Holy Ghost reveals to you things in your life. Pray, you ought to shout and pray, say, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord. And then you can get it right. We don't have to continue in our sin. Praise God. He said, verse 9 says, now I rejoice that not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Amen. Praise God. Ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. That is the Holy Ghost. God got a hold of your heart. Showed you was doing things that was out of line. You was missing the mark. Praise God. And God said, I'm going to help you get on target. Amen. I want to say most of the world today is missing the mark. And God's just trying his best to get us on target. Praise God. Not many people want it. Amen. Not many people want to be on target. Most people are okay with just a hit and here, there, and yonder. He said that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Now watch this, verse number 10. He said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. It brings us to the point of saying, Lord, praise God. Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins and save me by your marvelous grace. Keep me where you'd have me to be. Amen. Amen. But not to be repented of, said we don't turn back from it, praise God. We go on from there. I'm afraid there's so many that's coming when repentance and they turn around and go back right back to the waller. I'm afraid that's what happened in the church today. We come in and it's almost like jailhouse religion. People come in, boy, they get it while they're in jail because it gets them special privileges. Amen? And they get it, boy, they just talk a good talk, and they'll tell you everything that you want to hear, but they get out, and it ain't but just a little while, and they're back living like the devil. Amen. But he said there's a difference between that and a godly sorrow. He said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Amen. When we come out but sorry because we got caught, it won't make a change in you. Oh, you might weep a tear and you might say, forgive me, praise God. When you're not broken hearted because you broke the heart of God, amen, it ain't going to make much difference. But when we come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit before God, realizing that we old sinners, that we broke His heart, amen, not a worldly sorrow, but with a godly sorrow, and say, Lord, I need Your help. You say, preacher, how do you do that? By being saved, praise God, by the marvelous grace of God and knowing it. Amen. We ought to know that we're saved. Amen. Somebody asks us, it breaks my heart all the time. I ask people, I say, well, are you saved? Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you all right with God? And they'll say, well, I hope so. Amen. Or have a better answer than that. Amen. Say, yeah, praise. If you're going to use the word hope, say, yeah, praise God, my hope is in the Lord. Amen. The reason they don't hope so, the reason they hope so is because they don't have a relationship with Christ. Amen. To the point of knowing that they've been born again. Jesus, He's asking this question. He's laying this thing out here. He said, salvation's Lord. It's salvation's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Messiah of God. He's the promised one, praise God. He is the perpetuation. He's the price of sin. He's the one that shed His blood, praise God, that we might be saved. Just knowing Him and that free pardon of sin that makes a difference. See, Jesus was the one that changed my mind that night. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what about that little preacher, that little preacher that you talk about? Ain't he the one that preached the message? Yeah, but it's the Holy Ghost of God that changed my mind. Amen. Showed me I was an old sinner in need of a Savior. I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't realize, praise God, that I had a Savior in Jesus Christ my Lord. But salvation is there for those that'll come to it. Jesus is bidding us tonight, every one of us, to come unto Him, all you weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, if you're tired of carrying this world on your shoulders, He said, come to me and I'll swap with you. Amen. Praise God. He said He would. He'll do it. Praise God. Jesus is the one that changes your mind. He changes your mind, changes your method, changes your way, changes your path, changes your direction. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, He gives us an example. I got to look at this morning. I thought, praise God, what an example the Lord gives us in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, He gives us a parable of this great supper that's set. In Luke chapter 14, verse 16, so he said unto him, now it's Lord Jesus speaking, He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, if supper's set and everything's ready, you better get to the table. Amen? It's like my daddy used to say. He had five brothers and six sisters. They was 12 of them plus grandma and grandpa. And he said, if you was chopping wood and you stumped your toe and granny hollered for supper, he said, if you stumped your toe, if you hopped around more than twice, you might as well just go back to chopping wood and say, wouldn't be nothing left. Amen. When supper sat on the table, praise God, it's time to come. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know a cook around that don't want you to eat it while it's hot. When it's at its best. Amen. Don't want no old lukewarm stuff. Amen, brother. Yeah, we want it hot. When it's ready, praise God. We won't be sitting there waiting with our napkin around our neck, praise God, and our hand on the fork. Amen. And said they all with one consent begin to make excuses. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must need to go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly, in haste, into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So the Bible tells us here that these servants are called, and they're called to this great supper. The great supper's been set. It's been prepared. And he's called them to the supper, but men won't come. I want to say, in order to be saved, we got to come when God calls us. Amen. The Bible tells us there's a time of salvation, and that man can sin away his day of grace. So we need to come to a time of salvation when God calls us to be saved. Praise God. Amen. Now there's a difference between being saved and sanctified and being discipled. And the Lord gives us here a little preview of this in this text. He says, hey, listen, there's a time when the supper's ready, when God's a calling, when the Lord's a calling you, there's a time for you to come. Amen. You can't partake and do something for God till God changes your mind and gets you in. Amen. I think what's happening in the world today, he said, go out in the highways, hedges, and call them in. He said, the blame, the halt, the mind, the blind, crippled, the crazy, go out into the world, praise God, compel them to come in. Go out and bring them all in, praise God. Amen. Give them the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. Point them to Jesus, praise God. And when they get Jesus in their heart, things will change. We're getting the horse before the cart, the cart before the horse, because we're trying to get them in. We're trying to get them all changed. We're trying to, and I don't know how many people have talked to me here lately, and over 15 years since I've been going out here in the community and visiting. You say you need to get it. They say, well, preacher, when I get to doing a little better, I don't know how many people, when I get to doing a little better, preacher, I'm going to come up out of that church. And I think now I'm just going to say, well, you ain't ever going to come because you ain't going to get no better by yourself. Amen. The reason you come to the house of God is so you can get better with the help of the Lord, praise God. Amen. You can't get better. You can't save yourself. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost of God to make a change in you. When Jesus changes their mind, they'll be changed. But he said he compelled them to come in, but said nobody was coming. He said there was still room. I want to say, have you noticed how empty the churches are getting? God Almighty's still a calling. He's still the same yesterday and forever. He changeth not, but people's quit listening. Everything's in turmoil. Everything's crazy. It's upside down. It's sideways. But the church is a place where people get help from the Lord, and they won't come. Amen? You got to come. You got to get in, praise God. You got to heed the call. But the Lord goes on in verse 25. He said, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. So now I want you to watch this. He says in verse 27, he said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, now then he begins to lay this thing out about a planning process. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation. I wonder how many people that you know has laid a foundation of faith and then turned around and walked away from it. Amen. Leaving it destitute. So he said, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Amen. So what he says here, he said, listen, the Lord calls you and said, you got to come to him. The first thing we got to do is come to one that's bidden us, come to the supper of the great Lord. Amen. We got to come to him first. We got to come for salvation. We got to get saved. We got to get our people saved. Praise God. They'll never be no better than what they are till they get saved. He said, then, praise God. He said, then once we get them in, once we get them saved, then we begin to disciple them. We're trying to disciple people that's lost. Amen. You can't disciple people that's lost. You don't have no ammunition. Amen. I've been praying about this, brother. We're messing up. We got to get them saved. We got to get them to Jesus. We got to point them to Lord Jesus Christ. We can tell them they can turn over a new leaf till they wore the leaf out on both sides, and it'll never change them. It'll never change us. Salvation is the difference. Amen. Praise God. He said, hey, listen, said, we got to get saved. We got to come to the Lord. He said, then we begin to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Begin to do the things that's pleasing. We begin to build off the foundation of our salvation. Amen. That's the way it works. It don't work no other way. We can't disciple them and get them better. Amen. So we can get them saved. We got to get them, Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to have to be saved so that they can be discipled. Amen. And then comes along the sanctification process. I want to say that's a sanctification process. That's a lifelong process. Constantly changing and drawing closer to the Lord. Praise God. So we see the Lord lays it out here for us and shows us the way that He's planned for it to be. And we just got to learn to fit in His plan. Amen. And He gives us an example. He gives us another example in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, the Lord talks, He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Amen. In verse number 8, He said, and Paul's there, and he said he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when the diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, He departed from them and separated His disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Amen. So Paul was preaching for over 3 months, praise God, and they didn't want to hear it. It was unbelievers. So he said, listen, fellas, he gathered up all these people. He said, come on, let's go. You know, they don't want to hear it. Let's go somewhere and see if we can find some place they will. And the Bible said, verse 10, and this continued by a space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul moved down the road a little ways, praise God, at the school of Tyrannus, and he began to preach, praise God, and they began to listen. For 2 years he preached the gospel. Amen. Preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Amen. Got to be saved. Now you preach salvation. I had a person tell me a while ago, we don't need no salvation message. Amen. Without salvation, you don't have nothing. Amen. And the Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 11, verse 12 says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. Amen. Praise the Lord. But now watch this. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now I want you to watch this. I got a hold of this last night. Boy, it just blessed my heart. He said, many of them which also used curious arts brought their... Now listen, he said that these people that were saved. Amen. Praise God. He said, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now these people that were in Ephesus, and these people that were sitting under Paul's preaching, praise God, they were saved people. They were saved in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they were still doing sinful things. Amen. The only way you know, praise God, to come away from sinful things is the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These people were believers, but they was living, doing sinful things. But praise God, when Jesus Christ was magnified and lifted up and exhorted, praise God, and they saw Him for who He was, they left their sinful deeds, praise God, and got rid. Hey, they began to repent, they began to confess, praise God, and then they began to get rid of that junk that was hindering their lives. Amen. We'll not get rid of it till we realize who Jesus is. Till we realize, praise God, the power of Lord Jesus Christ has to get rid of that mess for us. We hold on to a lot of stuff like old luggage. Amen. You get luggage, you know, and you keep it forever. You go on vacation, you dig it out, get it out of the big old green sacks you roll it up in. You load it up with your clothes. You go on vacation. You get back. You empty out your clothes. Throw them in the washer. Load those suitcases back up in those green sacks. Tape them up and put them back on the shelf till next time. Amen. That's the way a whole lot of people do with sin. Praise God. We package it up and put it up till next time. But praise God, when God Almighty begins to reveal and magnify, the Lord is magnified in our heart. We begin to believe on Him. Praise God. We begin to get rid of some of that clutter. We can't expect to get rid of it as long as, praise God, till we realize who Jesus is. These people, the Bible said they were saved. Amen. But they didn't realize that all that stuff was holding them back till they seen the power that was in Jesus Christ our Lord. Once they seen the power, praise God, they began to change their deeds. What happened? Jesus began to change their mind in the right way, in the right perspective. Amen. They began to be moved upon by God. Praise the Lord. He began to make a difference in their lives. See, you've got to have, before we can be disciples, before we can enter into a true sanctification, we've got to realize in faith who Jesus is. Amen. We're living in a day and hour. People say, well, I know who Jesus is, praise God, but we don't know Him as Jesus Christ the Lord. We don't know Him that He's the Messiah of God. He's the promise. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one of God. He's the one that's anointed to take away our sins, praise God, so we can begin through Him to try to do right. When we acknowledge Him, praise God, when we find Him, then we get it all. When we get the Son, like the story of the Father with the paintings, when we get the Son, Brother Robert, we get everything. Everything becomes ours, praise God. And through then we get in the right perspective. Amen. See, we want to see people come to church, and we want to see them start acting right, walking right, talking right, and asking the Lord to be their Lord. We want them to give Him lordship of their life. And they don't even know that they need to. Amen. I think most of us folks here realize where we're at, realize we can't make it without Him. Amen. We've had to call upon Him enough, praise God, and we've seen Him move upon us enough to realize, praise God, I'm not going to try to do it without Him. Amen. Before I get bound up in a situation, I'm going to call upon the Lord. Amen. I want to get His help in there early. Don't you? Amen. I don't want to get out there all by myself somewhere, praise God, and then have to try to find my way back. I want the Lord to be with me all the way. So we got to have a faith. Jesus changed my mind, praise God, and He put faith in Him in my mind, in my heart. Then He started changing me, praise God, and sanctifying me. And then He started discipling me. Amen. And I started taking what I had, the Lord Jesus Christ, in my heart, and it began to avail itself to me, praise God, and reveal itself to me so that I can see who Christ was. Amen. And now He makes the difference in our lives. He goes before us. He helps us, praise God. And now we just take up our cross and we follow Him in faith, believing that He is God and that He loves us and He cares for us and He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Nobody else can make us that promise and keep it. But Jesus can, Jesus did, Jesus will. Amen. Praise God. When Jesus changes your mind. When Jesus changed my mind, praise God. Now, I've told you before, I ain't ever been perfect. I'll never be perfect in this body, but praise God, I serve a perfect Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ is perfect. Amen. I get up every day. We was talking about before church. Get up every day and say, Lord, I ain't messed up. I ain't done nothing. I ain't said nothing wrong. But in a minute, I'm going to throw these feet out of the bed and get up. And Lord, I need all the help I can get all this day. Praise God. Amen. Why? Because I believe in faith that Lord Jesus Christ loves me and He saved me. Praise God. He brought me into a place of discipling me and showing me, praise God, how much He loves me, what He wants to do for me. He's sanctifying me. He's keeping me, showing me the right direction. Amen. And I'm offering Him up a lordship of my life. He is my God and my Lord. He's my Messiah. He's my promise. He's my hope. Amen? Why? Because Jesus changed my mind. Have you had your mind changed? Amen? Has Jesus changed your mind? And a lot of things that you used to think and do, and a lot of things just about self and self-centeredness and all this stuff, praise God, Jesus changed your mind. Amen? He takes that all away from you, and you say, you know what, Lord? I know I'm nothing without you. And I need you ever step away. Amen? And once we get that, we can come in true repentance or the change of mind about the relationship that we have with Him. That it'd be a right relationship and a righteous relationship. Amen? Pray we can take out into the world. That we can compel them to come in, because before Jesus can do anything in our life, we have to be saved before we can follow Him.